Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello everyone, it's GigPod episode 196, and we're doing something a little bit different. Some may call it fun, others might call it a complete waste of time, but we're doing the debrief of horror, seeing as it's Halloween. I'm Stevie, and it's fitting that I am joined by the biggest monster of all, it's Reedzo. John, you're just back from London, how was it?
Hello everybody, that was some, hello Stevie, that was some great satire there. No, it was good as usual. London's always a great laugh. I went to this was shocking. A poor English Premier League game. West Ham versus Everton.
But John, you tell me it's the greatest league in the world where there's no bad football.
Well, that I think it must have been the occasion, the post-Europe hangover for West Ham. Similar to a post-Europe hangover.
Where was the score with West Ham in Europe?
They beat 2-1 off Olympiacos. And they beat yesterday 1-0 off Everton in a terrible game. The atmosphere wasn't great. In fact, every West Ham game I've beaten, the atmosphere's been poor. Because it's mostly fans moaning and complaining about the manager. So it's just like Celtic Park.
Did you get any bevy?
I know the game, I didn't.
What about, did you go to any bars there? Did you go to any pubs?
I went to a couple, yes. And I had some gluten-free beer, would you believe?
It's pathetic. Well, thankfully they don't sell that in Molly Malone's, I don't think.
They don't in Molly Malone's. Molly Malone have got Coors, and that was what I was drinking in the airport last night. I was waiting my delayed flight, so there you go.
How much were you paying for that?
For the airport pint?
Aye.
£6.30.
Bloody hell.
I think that's no bad for London.
What was it? That's about £3 or something in here.
Aye, but that's the Great Molly Malone's. That's not an airport.
And that's where we are tonight, John.
That is where we are. The Great Molly Malone's would never charge £6 for a pint. For two pints, yes, but not for one.
So what sort of stuff did you go up to?
I went to that game and I went to two art galleries.
Right, so what happened to the art galleries?
I went to... Have you heard of Marina Abramovic?
Who's that?
She's like a...
Is that all Infinite David Roman?
No, she's like a performance artist.
So is that one of the weirdos?
Aye. Well, she doesn't need any more, really, because she's an old woman now. But what she done was... She had a recreation of a thing for years ago with her and a guy who used to be a fella. She were naked in a doorway, and you had to walk through them while they were naked. But they recreated that with a guy and woman. So if you wanted to take it, you could either walk in through the doorway through the naked guy and woman, or there was a side door, so you didn't need to walk through it. But I did walk through the naked man and woman.
What was going through your head? Is that genuinely what counts as entertainment these days?
No, there's loads of other stuff there as well. Was it just that?
You saw PSG places in London?
I saw a PSG shop that was a bit weird in London. It made me think, why is there no a Celtic shop in London? Do you think that would make a good trade, or do you think it would like feel miserable?
Oh, the board would love it because they charge double the price.
And they'd be near their beloved Tories as well. There was like PSG shop adverts all over the subway and like in buses and stuff. It was, I didn't expect that at all. But no, London's always good, but I'm not going again probably until April.
Oh, how would you cope?
And if only there was a Molly Malone's in London.
Well, John, I believe you've got a spooky coincidence to talk about, because the last time you went to London when Celtic were playing Hibs, what was the result?
It was nothing each. And of course, this weekend it was nothing each. I was relying on updates for you, and we won't talk about it a lot because I know you and Dan covered it in detail on the pod that I did listen to. But it sounded like a terrible game, and a beloved Monty actually he messaged me before it, and he went, "I'll give you updates." And I didn't. When never something happens, and I didn't get one single message from him.
You know, Monty was messaging me all game.
And I see, bastard. He's not invited on the board ever. No, but the last time I was in London for a Celtic Hibs game was February 2022, when we were on live in Sky, and it was nothing each. I only saw the last 20 minutes, and it was after. Was it not after we played Bodo Glimt.
I think the 3-1 game. No, get beat 2-0 the away game.
Yep, it was.
Because Ange rested half a team.
That's right, that's right. And it was a terrible game with few chances. I saw the last 20 minutes in a pub. Because this game wasn't live, I didn't even bother like trying to find somebody to watch it. And you were just saying that like we weren't creating any chances, and it was a worse game than the game in February 2022.
Although I remember being in a really bad mood when I was messaging you that time in London. I was watching it with Hamish, and I think the beer played its part as well that day. And I remember just being so frustrated because I was convinced that Rangers were going to go and beat Motherwell at 3 or 4 nil, and they were of course winning 2-0. Then that was a game they drew 2 each, and we ended up gaining a point.
If only that had happened yesterday, but hey ho, we're still 5 points ahead.
Have you ever had anything scary happen to you during a Celtic game?
Well, I've had to pay a lot of money for a vegetarian pie. I can't really think of anything scary. I mean, I was at a game once that got fogged off against Aberdeen in, I think, 1992.
Is that the one Charlie Nicholas lifted up a ball boy?
No, that was against Dundee United, I think. This game got called off, and I think, unbelievably enough, the Celtic board made it cheap for them replay in midweek. I think they made it a fiver again or something, and I think we drew 2 each. That was when Aberdeen were a good team.
First ever time sitting in with the away fans in the 90s, and it was at Fir Park, which was a hellhole for us back in the days. And do you know how that end, opposite where all the away fans are in Motherwell?
Behind the goal where Motherwell fans are now?
Yeah, so we got a ticket. Me, my uncle, my grandad had a ticket. Obviously, we always got a ticket back then in the supporters bus for that particular game. I always remember like my uncle saying to me, "You're going to remember the home fans," and I was bricking it, and that I was convinced that we weren't going to get out and stuff. And I think I just overplayed it in my head because obviously everything was fine the entire time. But that game we won, right? In fact, you'll get this. Don't get any Wi-Fi here, but I just know if I tell you the score, you'll know who scored the goals. It was Celtic 1-2-0.
Hey, Donlin Collins.
What a fan!
Thank you.
Collins scored his right foot. But we never celebrated. I never celebrated the first goal, and I remember turning round after it because my uncle and my granda went mental when we scored to make it 1-0 with Donnelly, and I was turning round convinced that we were going to get kicked out or we were going to get battered or something, because in my mind I just thought like the away fans in the home end is just not meant to happen, and it was illegal and all that. I built it up in my head as if it was like a war crime or something.
Was it no fault, Celtic fans?
No, not really. There was like, I've gone to the one other time I've been in with the home fans a season later. But yeah, that particular game, after nothing happened, and then Collins scored the goal to make it 2-0 with his right foot. I remember thinking, right, okay, well, I've not been battered here, and we've not been chucked out, and we've not, the police haven't lifted me. By the way, bear in mind, I was still no 10 years. No, wait. No, I wasn't even 10. It was, I think I just turned 10, November 95, wasn't it?
Aye,
so I was 10 in March 95.
Aye. When me and Lee went to that Celtic Hibs game at Easter Road at the end of last season, there was loads of Celtic fans in Hibs end. But then I suppose, like, I mean, that was like a game that didn't matter. Well, it didn't matter to Ange anyway. But I mean, nothing really scary happened. Like, because it was loads and loads of Celtic fans. Nobody really bothered, was it?
The season after that, they had that iconic one, Decaniel, Cadet and Tom, Kilmarnock.
Oh, that game, 3-1.
I'm going to Gordon Marshall later, but I was in with the Kelly fans that game, and it was a bit more mixed. I think my Motherwell experience went in my favour for that game, so I wasn't such a paranoid wreck getting into it. I think we were going to get all battered and lynched. The scariest thing about that was Gordon Marshall's performance, but thankfully, that front three ended up salvaging us. You know, it was a pure horrible atmosphere, actually, that had the potential to spill into something really ugly. That Hearts one, 2011. Remember when Lennon got attacked? Like, it was like, even for anybody watching it on TV, never mind being at the game, you could tell that that was just a really sort of hostile atmosphere.
Well, the funny thing is, the only time I've been to a game in all the years I've been going to see Celtic where there's been like real trouble after it was at Tynecastle. It was 2002, we won 4-1 wearing that yellow top.
That was only on a Sunday?
It was only on a Sunday. I think it was maybe 4-0 at half time. It was just weird. There was like loads and loads of Celtic fans and like 10 Hearts fans, and like they were like geeing it like come on and all that. And there was one Polish woman like screaming like in a walkie talkie like for reinforcements, and a guy, I won't name him, who last I knew him was actually a postman. He was a Celtic fan, but he actually became a postman, and he was like, anybody that moves, or anybody that doesn't fight, or something, he was like wanting to have a fight. And unbelievably enough, he turned into a postman. He won't be listening to us. Well, if he is, I'm not seeing who he is anyway. He knows who he is. But no, that was the only time I've like felt like the atmosphere was like dodgy or bad or scary. And even like when I used to go to Celtic games at Ibrox, I mean, there was never this like hostile, like there's going to be a right like riot atmosphere.
I think my first Celtic Rangers game like properly was the one May 1995, you know this,
3-0.
There was a game, right? As my grand's listening to the radio, do you remember the New Year game we got beat 4-2?
Unfortunately, yes.
3-0 down after like 20 minutes?
Yes.
I remember listening as a wee guy, and the radio were so clear about how missiles were on the pitch.
And somebody threw it.
No, but I literally thought it was like fucking rockets and all that on the pitch. And I'm a wee guy greeting, saying to my granny, oh no, my grand is in the game, there's rockets. I'm thinking it was, thinking it was like a fucking conflict and all that.
Well, you were only 8, I think, then.
You would have been, right, aye. I think it would, aye, because I was 8. Aye, aye.
Aye, because I was 12. Because we were both born in the same month. 10 days apart, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to send us presents in March, we'll let you know near the time.
We'll never do that, John.
No, but that was the last game, really, for the old board. Like that. I know the board were on. No, it's weird, but that game, I think Celtic, as far as I remember, Celtic, I think, were only a point behind Rangers. I think the league was, like, dead, like, sort of congested. I think it was us, Rangers, Aberdeen, Dundee United, were all dead close together. And then, of course, I think after that game, Celtic didn't win for another, like, 12 games or something ridiculous and fairly bits. And then, like, Fergus McCann took over, I think, 4 months later.
And then we lost to Burrow and
I was at that game.
So was I.
The one where all the
so
fans
like
came
36,000.
Back. 36,000. There'd been like 12, 13,000 before that, and I went to that game.
And we still get beat, and it was
rubbish.
A scorching hot day.
Aye, rubbish.
But anyway, so let's move on, right? And we're going to talk about what players, whenever they were up against Celtic, you felt nothing but dread. And John, you have a list to go through here.
Yes, Shell Olofsson. I don't know if people remember him, but in the 90s, Dundee United were actually a good team that used to like get to cup finals and like get into Europe. And he was a big reason for that. Tommy McLean was a manager. I think they finished third, 96-97. And that was the season I think they get promoted, and they finished third. And like 97-98, there were always a hard game against us. I remember we beat them 3-2 in the cup.
Eric Pedersen
scored an own goal at injury time. But I think Olofsson scored in that game, and he scored a week later at Celtic Park and we drew one each. But no,
scored against Rangers a lot too.
Scored against Rangers a lot as well. Now every time we came up against him, I thought he's going to give us a hard time, and I thought he was an excellent player. He's sort of forgotten these days, unless you're like an old guys like us. But no, I thought he was an excellent player and a really good Dundee United team.
Bear in mind our main demographic is like 23 to 29 as well, so they're not going to have a clue who he is.
No, because his heyday was like the late 90s.
Well, they're not going to remember the next one either. Who I've got is a guy that terrorised my youth, Dougie Arnott. Any time Celtic played Motherwell, this guy was like, he was only like what, 5'2" or something, wasn't he?
Aye.
And he always scored.
I know, like, you always hear about how Motherwell's record against us, especially at Fir Park, is a joke. But see, like, in the late 80s, early 90s, they beat us at Fir Park and at Celtic Park regularly. They had a great record against us, and Dougie Arnott was a brilliant player for them, scored loads of goals against us. I think he scored in that cup final they won as well, when Tom Boyd was our captain and Phil O'Donnell scored. But no, he was like, he was a sort of guy who got in the Scotland squad. And like nowadays, you wouldn't think, unless you're like a sort of specialist, like having an amazing season, wouldn't get in the Scotland squad if you played for a team in Motherwell. But no, he was a great player.
Rudy Scatchell.
Oh, yeah, he was good against his eye.
Rudy Scatchell scored quite a few goals against us as well. And in fact, even though he became a Celtic cult hero as well, in the 2000s, Paul Hartley was a nightmare against us.
Yes, he was an excellent player. Yep, I mean, don't never forget that time he celebrated in the crowd when he scored a goal for Hearts in a meaningless game that had the potential to cost us a league, although we'd done it ourselves a week later.
And then that was the game Craig Gordon ran up for a corner.
More on him later.
Great guy. Right, so we're going to move on to a ground then that filled you with dread. So, John, this is where Celtic in the 90s, it's going to be a real highlight show of them. You can talk about your ones there, because I've listed for myself in the 90s, it was Fir Park, Motherwell, and I'd say in the early 2000s to mid 2000s games at Inverness. Horrific.
Not even the mid 2000s, I'm to the 2010s as well.
I'm trying to think here in the 2010s.
But we blew the league.
We blew the league, of course. No, I was thinking there was a game that always really stands out because I had the worst hangover of all time. It was the one against Inverness. We get beat 3-2. I think we're winning 2-0. Big Jan scored 2. Mark Brown was in goal for us.
2007.
Aye, and do you not remember Inverness had like a Romanian striker, Nicolai or something?
Mm-hmm.
They spent quite big money.
I can't remember his name. It was he's a decent player.
And I think he scored the winner, or he made it 2-each anyway. But yeah, there was always games on Setanta, or it might have been on Sky as well, but it was always when we went to Inverness, the matches were just so uncomfortable, and I never even enjoyed them. But yeah, I think Inverness, certainly in recent memory, Fir Park in the 90s, but what was that about Falkirk's, a.k.a. Brockville, back then, that you hated?
Oh, terrible stadium, it was a dump, and we struggled there. I remember we got knocked out of the Scottish Cup there one year when I was young, and that ended the season for us, because we never used to compete for the league. 1996, when like the first time we'd competed for the title for years, we dropped points there. And I mean, even in Tony Mowbray's season, we drew 3-each there in an absolutely ridiculous game. Remember that?
I do, actually, yeah, I do. I think Scott Arfield played against us. He was like, I think in his 20s back then.
Yeah, that was just garbage, basically. So no, I've always hated playing Falkirk, and thank goodness they're in like this League One now.
Did we know what a game 5-4 there?
Aye, that was in like 1992 or something, I think.
I think did Collins no score a screamer?
He did. I think we were losing 4-2 and won 5-4, I think.
I do remember my uncle when he brought Val Otlo, and he hated it. I think it was always 3 o'clock kickoffs, and I never went to Brockville. That's one stadium I never went to. But anytime my uncle came back home and I'd be asking him about the Celtic game, he just never wanted to talk about games at Brockville. They were always a forgettable experience, really. Do you know what I just remembered? Do you remember Rugby Park used to be a nightmare in the 90s? Remember that goalie, Dragoje Lekovic?
He was brilliant.
He was amazing. There was a game we drew 0-0, and he like single-handedly stopped us.
I remember, because Rangers could beat 3-0 at Tynecastle, not East Ibrox.
Alan Johnston.
And if we'd won, we'd have went top of the league. No, Rugby Park's bad for Brendan as well.
It sort of is.
Not as bad as Easter Road.
We just got to skip over that one then.
What, Easter Road?
Aye.
Well, no, I mean,
talked about it enough.
But we didn't mention that the last manager to win both Celtic league games at Easter Road in the season was Neil Lennon. In 2011-2012.
Opening game of the season, 2-0.
And then, I think, 5-0 or 5-1.
5-0.
After Rangers got in administration. And we've played at Easter Road loads of times there. We've never once managed to win if we were playing there twice in a season. Unbelievable.
Takes us on to the most terrifying Celtic performances over the years. Is there any that stands out, John? Because I think out of the list that we've got here, I think Up Media was like a freak one, wasn't it? See that, and I'm not even going to talk about the COVID season ones either, because the Aberdeen 4-each game, I remember, was one that we really had to win, and you were thinking that if we got the 3 points there, we could maybe, I think we're playing at Ibrox a couple of weeks later.
Yep,
in
we were.
February, and we're thinking, if we can get the 3 points and hang on here, we might be able to do something there and snatch this league. That everything that could have went wrong that game, I mean, did you? The most ludicrous handball from Edson Brathwaite. I remember being out, tuning in on it through the old BBC app on the, remember the BlackBerry phones you got?
Aye.
I got that and it kept coming in, and I just couldn't believe my eyes. That I turned it off at 4-2 thinking with 5 minutes to go, aye, we're good, we're okay. And then got the app and I had signal again, it's 4-each, and regrettably, I do have to say, by the way, I do remember throwing my phone in disgust at that BlackBerry smashing.
You'd never told me that before.
It was one of the BlackBerry curves. They were terrible, but I did that. It was just put me in such a mood. It was a Saturday at like 12 o'clock or something.
It was, yeah.
Rubby. I was down, do you know where I was? Down at the People's Palace.
Oh, were you?
I was, aye.
I don't even think that's open anymore.
Well, no, taking in some culture. It'll be the last time I do that.
Yes, I mean, we've got this St Mirren game that we lost 4-0 a couple of weeks later. That was such a bad result. The manager gets sacked the next day. And then we've got these other games we're going to talk about, 3 in a row, in winter 2010. We drew 1-each with Dundee United, but we gave away, all the games were at Celtic Park. We drew 1-each with Dundee United, gave away a goal in like the 94th minute. Drew 2-each with Inverness when we were 2-0 up, I think 20 minutes to go. And I think the coldest day ever, almost the weather as bad as a couple of weeks ago, remember? The biblical rain. We drew one each for Motherwell.
No, Kelly.
We drew one each for Kelly.
Connor Alex Salmon.
Connor Salmon scored. That's it. Was it Chris Iyer?
Rodney.
Rodney, that's it. Rodney, of course. I got him confused. And he's now married to, I think, like one of the best women's football players ever. There you go.
Do you know who he's married to?
Who?
Remember the. Remember the guy? Who's the guy? Who's the DJ? Martin Solveig. That's the last eight work. That's who he's married to.
Alright.
Remember that?
Aye.
When he asked the girl out to work.
Aye.
That's who he's married to.
And she's one of the best football players, woman football players ever. Very strange. But they were three terrible, terrible games. I think I went to two of them. I didn't go to the Kilmarnock game because this was shocking. It was too cold.
It was freezing. I remember going just because there was nothing else to do.
Actually, it was a midweek, and I think it was the week before Christmas or something.
We played
St Johnstone and beat them 2-0 just after Christmas.
Chaddery
and Key, and then we beat Rangers 2-0 when Samaras scored.
Of course, and in between, we beat Motherwell with the McCourt goal 1-0.
And Brown gets sent off.
Right, and then he missed the game at Ibrox.
That's right, aye. We'd like four or five home games in a row because we kept getting. That Motherwell, Hamilton.
That was a horrible winter.
The Hamilton
wasn't
game
it?
Get cancelled. And then they get rescheduled and we drew one each, mind.
That's right, yes.
Lenny was like in full Lenny mode. Great memories of 2010-11. That season was so ridiculous, we should do a pod about it one day.
John, what Celtic player for you always put in a horror performance that gave you PTSD? You know mine.
Well,
forgetting Gordon Marshall.
Yes, I know. We've talked about him and we've probably talked about him in this pod. We talked about him in the old pod. I know you always hated him.
Ruined so much of my time supporting Celtic growing up, and do you know the worst part? He never seemed to care.
Of course, it was in goals from Motherwell when we blew the league that day.
He always put in stormers against us, wasted time against us, but whenever he conceded terrible goals, he never seemed to take any responsibility or go, oh, that was a bad one for me. He blamed everybody else. There was a time we beat Motherwell 1-0, do you remember this? Van Hooydonk scored in the last second, but he got sent off. He hauled down Lee McCulloch.
That's right, yeah.
Because he miskicked a back pass. Mm-hmm. Celtic haven't been blessed with a lot of great goalies. There's been some exceptional ones, such as Arthur Boric and Fraser
Forster.
But a lot of the goalkeepers growing up, as a Celtic fan, they were crap. But Gordon Marshall really, really was the worst of them all. I'm all for Celtic players, right? See if they. You get the ones that maybe are the most talented, but. My God, you know, they put in some amount of effort. Gordon Marshall never did, and just as a wee guy, like, I remember just always being so appalled every time he was playing. His distribution was crap, constantly fumbling, and even when he saved, like, penalties, they were unconvincing, because, like, he saved one, and I think Owen Coyle scored in a Scottish
Cup. Did you today?
We won 2-1.
Mm-hmm.
Just everything Gordon Marshall did was never convincing for us, but, yeah, whenever he moved, he went to Motherwell, and he went to Kilmarnock. And like,
both games actually he played
both games,
2003 2000
and he took so much joy
five.
He took so much joy in it when we blew the league, and you know what, that was your fault, that's no his, but It was just his attitude was stinking in the Kilmarnock when he just wasted like time when the team had nothing to play for, and then conveniently for Motherwell he made like some amazing saves like through for Bellamy and Hartson, and you're thinking on another day when he was at Celtic, mate, they were just right through his legs. Not I'm bitter or anything.
No, Kilmarnock were right bastards that day. I mean, I'm not taking any away from Motherwell because that was their own fault. Like, I mean, we just blew it. I mean, Kilmarnock just put a boot in and were playing like just terrible football. Not that I'm bitter.
She's very cheated. I
21 years old. Well, it's the Halloween episode. It's a scary episode.
Who's your one?
I'm going to pick. I've got two, and their performances were so bad they had like very short-lived careers. Taylor Blackett, who would go on loan from Manchester United and played against Molde in Ronnie's season, and he came on as a sub for an injury, and he was so bad he got took off with 20 minutes to go, and I don't think he played for us ever again. And the other player is Gordon Marshall's brother, Scott Marshall.
He played one game
when Rangers beat us 3-0 at Celtic Park to win the title. I mean, what about a career, the brothers. I mean, I think we signed him on loan, but you could sign players on loan obviously any time then.
Yeah.
And
we get Tony Warner.
That's how we get Tony Warner. And I think we must have had an injury crisis. I don't remember who should have played that day. Must have been Reaper or Nustubs, I think, did play. So did Reaper play? I don't know, I don't remember.
Yeah, I'll be maybe.
could have been, but we must have had an injury crisis because Marshall hadn't played a minute for us, I'm sure, and then he made his debut in like a big game where we had to stop Rangers winning the league at Parkhead and we failed. Actually, I suppose the atmosphere of that was sort of scary because it was
did
just...
Did you fall down for the tier?
No, that wasn't me. That wasn't me. How dare you? I think that guy's in jail now. I won't say what for, but... No, that was sort of looking back at atmospheres. I mean, no, that was probably worse in the city that night, and like people were fighting around the place than the actual game.
I wouldn't say what I witnessed walking along Barrowfield Road going to the supporters bus that game, but yeah, I think I was 13 or something, and some of the scenes were chaotic to say the least. I had to really hold on to my grandad that day because like some of the scenes after that were so volatile.
You were 14.
Thank you, John. Just keep tabs right on me. Right, okay. I'm going to ask you about a ghost story in a minute, right?
We need to do this hilarious comedy here, though.
Yes, I was going to get to that. So we've tasked each other with three Halloween scents to come up with, just because this is a comedy podcast or something after all. Or so we think. So the three I came up with were Frankenstein McGarvey, Mark Grim Reaper, and Albane a Yeti. Rizzo, please make my heart sink.
Well, you better tell them that a Yeti means the Yeti, in case people don't get it.
You've told them now.
Right, okay, so mine's is Craig Brawley. Harold Drackback.
Groan.
And Craig Goblin.
Well, that's all right.
Do you know what Harold Drackback? Drackbat? Bat? Even better.
John, this is turning into the Beano here or something.
Well, I wish we were as good as the Beano.
Well, we have got Desperate Dan on.
Well, that's true. Oh, he was in the Dandy.
I know, but still, it's the same company, isn't
it? DC, great
same
company.
Same club. Yeah, see, before we talk about this, before we get snap out this Halloween nonsense, have you got a shoot ghost story?
Actually,
do you believe in ghosts?
I suppose. Aye. Do you?
Well, I used to be very cynical, John. And then something happened, and I think I've told you this story before.
You did, but it was years ago, and only vaguely remember. But no,
I was at a bar, and you bought me a drink.
Well, that's not happening tonight. And wonderful Molly Mullins. But no, I've never had a sort of ghostly experience or anything like that, no. But you have, and why don't you tell the listeners and remind me about what happened?
December 2009, I went to the Kingdom of Fife for like 3 days. It was myself and...
Thanks for the invite.
So yeah, I was with somebody at the time, and we went up this... it was like the St. Bruce Tower, it's called, in St. Andrews. It's one of the places that, you know how, where the walkway, like the stairway is so narrow that you can only go in one at a time. Mm. So like, see if somebody's coming down, you would have to like basically stop.
Move to the side or something?
Aye, but that way you can both go up and down at the same time. Like, it's that narrow that you have to really like, sort of go to the side, and I'd have to like squeeze my stomach in and all that for people to get by. So we went up to the top of it and just looking, taking photos at the top of the tower and stuff, and it was just us two there. And so we're walking back down, and as I say, we didn't encounter anyone at all. And so we've got to like near the bottom, and I remember the pair of us were just like walking down at the last stairwell, and we just heard footsteps approaching us, and they both looked at each other going, there's nobody else here. But the footsteps were starting to get louder and louder and louder behind us, to the point where there was no rational explanation, because if it was a person we would have seen them. So I remember the pair of us just looking at each other, and in typical brave guy style, I was first, and I just liked it. I just liked it, going, fuck this. So I remember always used to be really cynical and used to like roll my eyes at anybody telling ghost stories and any sort of experiences with spirits and all that. And I used to think, oh, shut up, get lost, give me peace.
The only spirit for you was whiskey.
Am I right? No, ever since that, I mean, 2009, that just opened my eyes to the whole paranormal
world.
Yes. And ever since then, I've...
And see that place you went to, has that got like a folklore of ghosts or something?
Well, apparently there's it's a friendly monk. Oh. Apparently that helps you if you fall down the stairs and it helps you up, but I didn't fall down any stairs, so I don't know what it was falling me about for.
Oh well.
But aye, so that is a shoot ghost story that all the years I used to think, in fact, tell me what age would I have been then? 24, I think.
What year was it?
2009.
25.
No, I was 24.
Oh, 24, aye.
25 and 2010.
Alright.
Because I was a mosquito on my 25th.
Alright.
But yeah, I remember that is just, I honestly used to think to myself, what are ghost stories? Well, that nonsense. They're just in it just to try and milk people and get money, and, you know, you get all the people who are like, who do you call the people that read the palms and all that? Who are they? Tarots?
Tarot card readers, aye.
Aye, alright. I used to think, like, all them and the paranormal activity mob were just in it for the cash and all that. And
now just like the X-Files, you believe.
What's the tag in X-Files again?
The truth was out there.
Well, the truth was out there in St Andrews, brother.
A good ghostly story there at the end, the Halloween bit of this week's special episode.
You want to talk a wee bit about injury news and St Mirren preview, and you've got a stat to tell us about a corrupt player. So, John, the floor is yours.
Well, but because like, the next pod is going to be after a Celtic game, I thought we'd better talk about the St Mirren game because it's getting played in 2 days' time. St Mirren, who have like practically the same record as Rangers, if they win their game in hand, they'll have the same amount of points as Rangers, so they're a decent team. And we've got obviously really bad injury news going into the game. Rio Hatate is going to be out until after Christmas, confirmed by Brendan. You might not play for us again until September because Japan have got the Asian Cup.
September?
No, February even, because Japan have got the Asian Cup. So he'll get picked for that, so he'll be out for a long while. And the worrying aspect is, so this can actually add to the Halloween aspect, the horror aspect is, when Rio Hatate hasn't played for Celtic, this season we've had four games in the league where he hasn't played a single minute, and in those four games we've scored one goal. Do you know who that goal was against?
Thinking here, was that?
It was Rangers.
Oh, so why is that? That's right, was they playing? That it was CCV.
That's right, we lost 1-0 to Kilmarnock, drew nothing each with St Johnson, beat Rangers 1-0, he came back, and then of course, he was missing on Saturday, we drew nothing each. So that just shows, I know you obviously love his attitude, but even you agree, he's going to be a massive miss for us.
Oh, a huge miss, and you know, you saw that on Saturday, for example, even at a half-foot Hatate, certainly would have dragged the players out of space for guys like Matt O'Reilly to shine, maybe get a goal or be threatening against Hibs. Personally, I obviously don't think Bernardo is at his level, but I think the manager will persist there because I don't think he's going to be playing Iwata.
But then, okay, we've got a game on Wednesday, and we've got, obviously...
Ah, he's got to rotate there, though.
Ross County at lunchtime on Saturday.
I think what we would agree on, the Bernardo and Iwata have to be rotating, because we can't go back to the Turnbull days.
No, and I did see the highlights of the game on the weekend today, and Turnbull's attempted chip on the top of the bar wasn't very good. Actually, Bernardo had a shot just past the post. After Hibs had played some ridiculous passing out for the back that we failed to take advantage of. Well done, Celtic, but no, a bit difficult game on Wednesday, and it's one we need to win, really, to get back on track after the weekend. And yeah, but we'll talk about that actually on Saturday, because due to personal reasons, or Stevie being a great guy, family man he is, we can't do a pod after the St Mirren game. But the good news is, there will be a pod lightly from the great Molly Malones on Saturday after the Ross County game, with me and good old Dan. So it'll be me and Dan reviewing the St Mirren game and the Ross County game this weekend. So three podcasts in a week for the listeners, what a treat for them. And it's going to be the episode 200 soon, and unfortunately we were going to do something special, but we're not now.
Don't look at me, John.
No, but we will do something special at the end of the season though, so that is the plan. But
we'll get Dan to do a face reveal.
Yes, we'll get Dan to tell you his real name. No, before, because it's a Halloween tomorrow, and we thought we better do a special Halloween themed Celtic episode.
And we're having a debrief.
And we're having a debrief, the debrief of horror.
It was a sore one for me having to pay for this, but I will recover.
Yes, so thanks today for listening. You can get us in all the usual podcast platforms, you know where by now, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, etc, etc. And don't forget to get your pals to subscribe to the podcast on those platforms. We want more and more subscribers. The subscribers are going up by a week, is that correct?
Correct.
So we want that to continue to get more and more listeners. So we'll be back at the weekend with a bumper review of the St Mirren game and the Ross County game with me and Dan. And we'll have episodes next week as well, because we're back in Europe when we play Atletico Madrid.
All good.
What fun. And I'm going for a root canal as well, which will be more fun than the Atletico Madrid game. Right, so we'll speak to you all at the weekend. Thanks to you for listening. Good luck to Celtic. Don't give us a horror show on Wednesday night. See what I did there? And we'll speak to you all soon. Hail, hail.
Network.